Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
You got your Bibles with me? Colossians chapter 1. And as you're turning there, I wanted to take a minute and celebrate a great team at our church that's just been doing an incredible job. We just kicked off our next classes a couple weeks ago. And I think we had last week, 84 people taking next steps in next classes. People getting connected, people finding a place to belong, growing in their faith, learning to pray, read their Bible. And I think we ought to just celebrate what God's doing in people's lives and people taking next steps. Can we celebrate them? And really want to encourage you, if you are looking to take next steps, all you simply have to do is just hang out right after service. Every week after this service, we take 10 minutes just to flip over the room and we dismiss everybody, but then we let people back in. We got pizza and it's called Christian Fellowship. Pizza and we talk about the Bible. I think that's what they call it, right? And so, but it'll really help you keep moving forward in your faith, because we believe at this church that big faith is built through purposeful next steps. And so I'd love for you to be able to take that. But how many are ready for the Word of God? And we're going to dive in. I'm going to preach as quickly as possible and as rowdy as possible. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Come on, somebody. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. What does that even mean? Sometimes you just got to slap your neighbor and say, he's ready for you. I don't know what, wait a minute. I don't know what's going on anymore, guys. And back to the Bible, please. Here we go. Colossians chapter 1. And here's what it says. The Son is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible things, either thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things are held together. Isn't that good news today, that no matter what's going on in our world, that all things are held together through him? And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that everything, say everything, he might have supremacy. I love this passage of scripture. It's all about the supremacy and the mighty, majestic power of Jesus Christ. Today, I want to talk to you from this topic or this thought, supreme. Supreme. Come on, how many are ready to pray today? Jesus, we thank you that you're going to speak to us today. God, I pray that you would come, and God, I pray that there would be peace in the middle of storms, Lord God, that there would be an overcoming spirit that would come upon people, Lord God, that no matter what is going on around us, we have a strength living on the inside of us. And Lord, we pray right now while we have you, Lord, that Jesus would come over the Huskers. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, tell the truth, all right? Jesus, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, if you love Jesus today, put your hands together for him. Come on, guys, it's only game two. It's only game two. Stay hope. How many know there is a hope? All right, I don't know what. So the other day, I was driving in the car. It's really what inspired this whole series was I was driving in the car, and I'm driving in the car, and I'm one of those people that I'll listen to. I have satellite radio, and so I like to listen to the news while I'm in the car because I don't have a lot of time to watch television, and so sometimes I'm in the car, and I'll listen to the news, because how many of you know you don't want too much news, but you don't want to be in the dark either? You know, somewhere in between there. And so I'm listening to the news, and I'm driving, and I'm listening to the stuff on the news. And I'm just like, oh. It was during the middle of the Supreme Court justice trial. Well, it wasn't a trial. It was a confirmation hearing. But it felt like a trial if you watched it. I mean, there are people, regardless of your political views, like, I don't really, like, we have no agenda at this church. You do you, boo-boo. Okay? You do you, boo-boo. We're not trying to infiltrate people's political views here. We want you to vote your conference. Your conference or your conscience. There you go, conscience. And we want you, that's not my, but I'm listening to this thing on there, and every 30 seconds, there's somebody up screaming and shouting, like, things. They're making fun of this guy's kids. They're assaulting, verbally assaulting his wife. They're yelling obscenities. It's this went on for 3 days. And I'm like, somebody needs to get these people a job. You know what I mean? Like, who has this much time on their hands, man? You know, get busy. I'm flipping through that. That's going on. And then a little bit later, then I start hearing about these hurricanes that are coming in. And one's hitting Puerto Rico that was really, really rough. And then we have this one still going on right now. You know, I think, what is it, 1 million people without power right now? And flooding everywhere. And then you got people, they're arguing about how good they're going to take care of the hurricane that they can't control. They're arguing about these things. Like, and you got people arguing back and forth. And then I'm flipping through. And then, so I finally get out of the car. This is all in the span of 10 minutes driving in the car. I've had to deal with a public uproar and hurricanes. These are God-sized things, and I'm dealing with them in 10 minutes driving in my car. Like, oh, what am I going to, you know? I remember getting out of the car, and I literally felt anxious. Like, I could literally feel anxiety. And so I've lived in this extreme for, like, the last 10 minutes. And I get in the house, and all of a sudden, I start to realize, like, I don't really want to do anything right now. Like, this is a thought going on. It's like, I got to go in. I got a lot of work to do. And I'm like, I feel really concerned right now, and I don't know why. Like, I couldn't make up why I was feeling what I was doing. I was sidetracked. My mind wasn't focused. And so I get in the house, and I'm like, okay, I've been on this extreme of it. I'm gonna go to this extreme. So I get in the house, and I'm like, I'm putting on some worship music. And so I put on some worship music, and I'm going through this, and I'm going. And then as I'm worshiping, okay, as I'm worshiping, I got text messages from a couple people that just, like, One guy literally had a friend who committed suicide the night before and called him right before it happened. Wow. And so he's texting me about that. I got hurricanes. People, you know, the sum total of politics running in my head. I've got worship music, and I've got people going through terrible situations. And then I got my own stuff. And I remember sitting there, and I'm going, can we get some help around here? Have you ever been there where you're just like, what on the world is going on? Like, is there anybody up there? And I got to thinking about that I don't think I'm alone in this. I think that we are more filled with anxiety, fear, borrowed stress. Things that we were never meant to carry, we are carrying around, and we're walking around in this world with all this anxious. And so you know what we do? We begin to live between extremes. So on this side of the extreme is me dealing with God-sized things that I have no control over, me trying to ponder and understand how bad a hurricane's going to be. How many of you know that that's a God-sized problem? That's not a man problem. And then, so I got that. I'm all the way over here on this extreme. And then, so what do I do? Man, I got to change everything. I'm gonna jump over here to worship. And then, you know, come on, we all. And so we live our lives on this extreme, all the way over to this extreme. You ever... Thank God it's Friday. Because why? I've been in this one, and I'm ready for this one. So we live back and forth on these pendulums, and we live from extreme to extreme. And when you talk to people about it, this is how they describe it. My life just feels so imbalanced. Like, I'm just trying to find some balance in life. I'm trying to find what, where I teeter between the extremes. That I'm not over here and I'm not over here, but here's the question that I wanted to present this morning. How's that working out? Like, have you noticed that there's whole religions about finding like Zen and Nirvana? And it's a great band, too. We're come on. Like, all of humanity, the Bible says that all the earth groans. Yeah. Like, we're all trying to find some kind of balance. But here's the thing that I want you to understand is that you're never going to find balance in this world. Here's what I would say. We will always be stuck in between extremes until we worship Jesus supreme. Until we fully understand that this life is not about balance. In fact, it's about shifting your weight in a completely imbalanced way. That people are trying to find balance. This is what I watch people do this in church. Like I have my work world, and then I have like my family world, and then like my church world. Like I need something good in there, so we'll put like the little church part in there. And because what are they trying to do? They're trying to balance the equation. I'm trying to balance the equation. But here's what I want you to understand. Serving Jesus is not about balance. It is about putting all of your weight down in one direction and making it imbalanced. I don't want a balanced life. I want an imbalanced life that is bent towards Jesus ruling and reigning supreme in my life. I want every aspect of my life to be pointing to him, to be about him, to be for him. I want to put Jesus over everything in my life. I want him over everything because I got to have a hope that outweighs, that's so weighted over here that when things of this world come at me, I can walk through them in the middle of it. See, this is what Colossians is talking about. It's trying to give us an indicator, a hope, a message, a different perspective. Here's what it begins to say that Jesus is. Jesus is the firstborn of all creation, which means before me and you, he was. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's already been in your tomorrow. He is from eternity. He is beyond time. He has already written the ending pages of the book. He sees your story from beginning to end. That's the hope that we have. Jesus is not only that, but all things, he's holding all things together. See, people go, man, why doesn't God just fix all the problems in the world? Well, friends, if he removed himself, that's how much he's doing right now. He's not going to violate our free will because then love's not possible. He's given that to you to do whatever it is. The fact that this whole thing hasn't lit on fire and exploded tells you how much God is active on planet Earth. Like the fact, like Jesus, he's holding it all together until a time where he's going to split the sky. He's going to return in and what? We're going to get a new heaven and a new earth, and we're going to live in victory in Jesus' mighty name. But here's where we wrestle with, right? We're stuck in between. Theologians literally call, the idea is that we're almost there, but not there yet. Come on, that's why the Bible says that all creation's groaning for the return of Christ. Because though the victory has been won on the cross, though you have been delivered and set free and forgiven, how many of you know that we still experience pain, trials, and tribulations on this earth until one day when we, what, enter into the gates of heaven where there will be no crying, no gnashing of teeth, no pain, no sorrow. That's the day that all creation is longing for. But we are somewhere in between where we feel on the inside and where we want to be. The Bible says that this is the battle that we all live in. That whether we want to or not, you are stuck in between. You live in this battle. We feel this battle. Like, you know, we experience this battle on our good days and our bad days. And here's the best way I can describe it is, have you ever like moved into a new apartment or bought a house, or you go and you sit down with a person who what either owns the house before you or is renting the apartment to you, and you sit down and what do? You begin to talk about an agreement. Hey, like, you know, here's what the contract is. Can I tell you, that's what the cross was. The cross was Jesus and God making a contract for the price of humanity, saying, I will redeem, I will rescue, I will whatever. It was the terms of the lease to redeem you, me, and everybody else back for all that who believe. But just like that contract, you sign it. How many of you know the next thing that comes is what? A deposit. It's like a down payment. You get the keys. But how many of you know there's a big difference between having what I need to move in and actually moving in? Like, it ain't home yet until I've moved in. I've got things situated. That's why Jesus said, hey, I'm leaving here. I'm going to a place to prepare a place for you. Right. He's getting it move-in ready for us. And we're kind of in between. But the Bible says that he gives us the deposit called the Holy Spirit. Yeah. It's that sense on the inside of us that he's with us. Yeah. That he is near. That he is, but we look around and we still see things are kind of crazy. See, the beauty of following Jesus is that you can be looking into madness and have a sense on the inside of heaven. See, Jesus came to give us the Holy Spirit for this time in between. And he said it would produce in us what? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Just think about all those things. If I need self-control, that means what? There's going to be problems. If I need joy, that means everything's not going to be okay all the time. It is the essence, the promise of the Holy Spirit that whatever comes at us, Jesus has already resourced us to be able to walk through. See, so because we live in this in-between, there's a real battle going on. See, if I can get you to get this today, it'll hopefully make life make a whole lot more sense. War has been won. You got to get that. The war has been won. Jesus said he took the serpent's head, the devil, and smashed it under his feet. He is under him. He took back the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He's won the war. But what we still have going on between now and then is battles. There's still battles going on for our family. There's still battles going on for our friends. There's still a spiritual dynamic that just because ultimately Jesus has claimed all authority and will have all victory, that there are some that won't enter into that. That's the tension that we live in the world, and we can feel it. And here's what I want you to understand. You know why there's still a battle going on? Because though the devil knows he has lost the war, he cannot stand the supremacy of God. He can't stand it. That's what he was, the worship leader of heaven. His number one job was to what? Lift up Jesus. To elevate the name of God. To bring worship. Well, what did he do? He wanted to remove supremacy from God. Put himself there. And what? So here's a little clue. You want to know what the war is all about? It's not about you. Isn't that kind of freeing? Like, sometimes I just feel like I'm just under attack all the time. When I begin to understand that the reason the devil is coming against me, the reason things go wrong in my life, has very little to do with me. It's because he is trying to dethrone God from the supremacy of my heart. Right. Right. He's not coming against me. He's coming against God. Right. Think about that for a moment. What would happen to your prayer life? What would happen to the spiritual warfare in your life if you were able to flip that around and begin to understand, not today, devil, not today. Though you may come against me, you're coming against the name of the Lord. You are not going to dethrone the supremacy of Christ in my life. Here's what I want you to understand. The battle is not about me. It's about Jesus' supremacy. He's trying to knock God off the throne of your heart. That's what the devil comes to do. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. How does he do that? He comes by trying to knock God off the throne of your heart. See, me and you were engineered. We were built. We were created to have God on the throne of our heart. For him to be supreme in our life. For him to be first place in our life. Here's how I would like it. Let's imagine. Sometimes I hear this with people like, man, God seems kind of needy. Like, have you ever thought that? Like, why does God need everything to be about God? Like, I've had people who don't have faith even say that to me. They're like, well, I don't really want to be a part of something that's all about, you know, say stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. That's a fine argument. Here's how I would describe it. Imagine we're going to replace God with oxygen. We're gonna make oxygen a person, okay? So me and you, we're breathing oxygen right now, huh? So imagine, here's oxygen. Oxygen comes and goes, hey, probably need to be the thing you breathe. Who needs oxygen? I'm gonna breathe in carbon dioxide. Put him first place. I know this is crazy, right? But this is what the world, you ready? This is what the world looks like. We don't need oxygen. I'm not going to put him first place. Just turn on the news right now. Our world is hyperventilating. And it's going, no, we don't need oxygen. We don't need it. We'll put something else on the throne. We'll put something else first place. And God's going, hey, you can attempt it, you can try it, but all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You can't dethrone me. You can only unthrone me in your heart. And we have people walking around and they're hyperventilating. Because why? The battle over our lives is whether Jesus will reign supreme in our lives. Here's the trick of the devil. Here's how he comes at us. Because he's going to challenge Jesus over everything. He would much rather Jesus over 5% of it. That one's easier to control, actually, because that person's inoculated, think they're doing well. He just wants Jesus to over a little piece. And so he's going to come and challenge that. Here's what I want you to get. That he's going to challenge it by bringing trials, pain, tribulation, doubts, fears, anxieties into your life. Because why? Just think about it. When those things come, what's he trying to control? What's he trying to control? Your worship. See, your worship determines what's over you. Just think about it. When something bad happens in your world and all of a sudden it begins to come, what do? You start to rehearse it in your head. Breathe deep and know that he's good. Oh, my day's so bad. So bad. So many bad things going on. Oh, man. So-and-so, this is never going right. This is never, my marriage is so bad. What are you doing? You're worshiping. Wow. See, your worship is whatever you put reverence or honor towards. See, you can honor a bad thing. Did you know that? Like, honor isn't just for good things. Here's literally what worship means. It means to show reverence. What does that mean? To attend to. To show adoration, to show honor. The devil wants to bring stuff into your world that's going to hijack your worship. Because if he can hijack your worship, he can get you to show some honor and some fear. And that's all fear is. Fear is this faith in reverse. It's the same muscle. It's the same strength. And we end up fearing things and we end up pulling it into our life. Because why? Whatever we honor, worship begins to what? Go over our life. And I believe with all of my heart that we live in this battle of worship. That's why I think the devil was the worship leader of heaven. Because he understood this, that whoever controls the worship controls the war. Whatever controls the worship controls the war. So he is going to come and he's going to what? He's going to try to unseat Christ off the throne of your heart. He's going to try to replace it with your problems, your turmoil, your trial. That's why James said to us as believers, count it all joy. Yeah. Brethren, when you encounter various trials and temptations, because why? It's going to teach you to keep Jesus supreme in your life. It's going to build a faith on the inside of you that has been tested and can be trusted. So what do we do to keep Jesus over everything? Because some of you are going through real problems, situations, pain, struggle. How about this? A friend that mistreats you. You ever been betrayed before? You know what? I've found in my world, and we're going to talk about this in weeks to come. You know what I've almost found the number one thing that takes Christians out? Offense. Offense. Somebody said something to me that hurt me. So now I've begun to what? Show honor to that. Now that offense has become my worship. And now that offense is ruling over me. So rather than Jesus over everything, including those that mistreat me, it's offense over everything. That when somebody mistreats you, you know what you got to do? You got to worship your way through that thing. This thing wasn't about me in the first place. Jesus is going to get all the glory and all the honor. And though they're mistreating me, I'm going to speak life. I'm going to bless those that curse me. I'm going to love my enemies. I'm going to be what? I'm going to worship. I'm going to bring Jesus honor. What about the person who, like I said earlier, who lost their friend? These are real things, guys. These are real life stuff. Sometimes we make this stuff so soft. We go through real pain and struggles. Lost their friend to suicide. You know what I say is, we can sit and we can ask why, what, I don't understand, what's going on, I don't know what's happening, or you know what we can do? We can see the war. The devil may have won that battle. He's not going to win the one in me. And so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wake up tomorrow, I'm going to make the devil pay. Every one of my friends that doesn't know God, every person I work with that doesn't have hope, every part of our city that needs to be reached, I'm going to live my life on a mission. Jesus is going to reign supreme, and I'm going to make the devil pay for what he brings against me. I'm going to rise. I'm going to lift. I'm going to worship my way through this thing, because whatever I worship comes over my life, and I'm going to worship Jesus. See, friends, you're not going to get through it. You're going to worship your way through it.
Yeah, that's great.
I don't want to just get through things. I want for people to watch me go through things and go, man, God's good. God's good. You know, one of the oldest stories in the Bible, it is the oldest story, the oldest manuscript in the Bible, many people would think it was Genesis. You know what it is? Job. The oldest manuscript in the Bible. Think about that. Here is a man who lost everything and declared, though the Lord slay me, yet will I bless him. It's kind of funny how the whole story enters, and I'm gonna preach on it a little bit throughout this series, but the story starts off like this. The devil's in heaven. This is a crazy thought to think about. Comes up to God. God goes, hey, have you considered my servant Job? None like him. And God goes, the devil looks at him and goes, well, yeah, you got this big, huge hedge of protection around him. Remove that thing, he'll curse you to your face. God said, okay. See, guys, here's the question. What's our life about? This is where it gets down, dude. This isn't American Christianity, feel good, da-da-da-da. My life is about letting Jesus reign supreme. I want him to be number one, lifted up above all things. And Job walks through trials, tribulations, pain, fear, challenges. And at the end of it, you know what? He got double for his trouble. God repaid him for every bit that he walked through. But yea, though he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he let God reign supreme. Could it be that the oldest manuscript in the Bible is God shouting through the ages, this thing, Colossians chapter 1, all things are through me and for me and in me. I am the oxygen for your soul. I will carry you through this life. And though things may come through, friends, here's the beautiful part. One day, either I will die and go to heaven, or Jesus will split the skies and I will rise and go to heaven. But in the end, friends, I win. And between here And there, I'm not going to let the news get me down. I'm not going to let what Democrats or Republicans or, you know, whoever, or the opinion of the day or the fad of the day. I'm going to let Jesus reign supreme in my life. You know, I was thinking about this story somebody told me about this older lady. She had lost her husband, and she was a widow and really going through some really dramatic financial problems. Just didn't have anything, was having a hard time feeding herself. And every morning, just get up early in the morning, she's praying out loud, God, I believe you're Jehovah Jireh, you're my provider. I believe that you see me and you got me covered. You're going to provide for me, God. So I'm praying you would provide groceries, and her window's open and her neighbor can hear her every day. And he's trying to sleep. He's irritated. He doesn't believe in God. He's actually a very staunch atheist. And so he's irritated with this lady. Like, this lady is waking me up in the morning. She's keeping me up. She's praying to nobody. Nobody's there. Nobody's home. Just stop it. So every day she's doing this, and he's getting more irritated. So he finally starts to get this strategy. He's like, I'm going to show this lady that this ain't working. You know what I mean? And so he goes, I'm going to go to the grocery store, and I'm going to buy her a bunch of groceries. And I'm going to put them on her doorstep. And then when she comes out, I'm going to say, I did that. So he goes up to the house, and he puts it up there, you know, rings the doorbell, goes and hides in the bushes, and he's waiting. You know, he's like, finally, I get to prove this lady wrong. And, you know, she's just been worshiping her way through it. She's been, what, letting Jesus get all the honor despite her circumstances. And so she's expecting. She opens up the door. She looks at it, and she goes, oh, my God, tears in her eyes. God's provided for me groceries. And here comes the guy out of the bushes. Ha! Gotcha! That wasn't God. That was me. I've been listening to your nonsense every morning. And I said, I'm going to go buy her groceries just to prove to you there's not a God. And she looks at him and goes, oh, son, here's the good news. My God did provide for me groceries. He just made the devil pay for it. And I don't know about you or what you're going through, but I'm believing that if we can just keep Jesus over everything, that every trial and every tribulation, it'll make sense in the end.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.